प्रेमानंदे हरि जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशनी गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय। गंगा माई की जय। जमुना माई की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंद
हरि वो।
All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Hare Krishna. So recently we observed Sri Nrisimha Chaturdashi, and I believe you all are celebrating Nrisimha Chaturdashi here today. So what's the program? Like, just aarti?
Yeah. The bhajans is over now, the class, after that aarti.
Yeah, aarti will be at what time?
6:15, but we'll do a silent aarti, and the special guest comes, you can continue. The aarti can parallel it happens.
Jai Shri Shri Nrisimha Bhagavan ki
Jai.
Jai Shri Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki
Jai.
So I decided to read the verse from the 7th canto, chapter 6, text 2. Prahlad Maharaj instructing his friends, children. This verse goes like, Jatha hi purusha sheha Vishnu padopa sarpanam Jadesho sarva bhutanam Priya atmeshwaraha suhit. The human form of life affords one a chance to return home, back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially the human form of life, must engage in devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and the well-wisher of all other living beings. We must remember that Prahlad Maharaj was just a child, just a 5-year-old boy. And not only that, he was born in a demoniac family. He was not born in a devotee family as such. Of course, in a way, the family is a devotee family. His great-grandfather is Brahma. But unfortunately, his father was a demon. When the progeny, when Brahma started to procreate, Kashyapa became married to different daughters of Daksha. And from the womb of Diti, the Daityas were born. Daityas, the word Daitya means demon. But of course, it is not that. They are demons, therefore Daityas. Actually, they are Daityas because they are the sons of Diti. Like in this way, in the Vedic culture, often the children get their names according to their father or mother. Like Janak Raj's daughter, King Janak's daughter, Sita Devi, is known as Janaki. Or similarly, here we see that because they were the children of Diti, they got the name Daityas. Similarly, the children of Aditi were known as Adityas. Aditi's children became demigods, and Diti's children from the same father. But Diti's children became Daityas. Or Diti's children, Daityas, became so this is how the line came. Different species appear in this way. So Daityas, Asuras, Rakshasas, these are all demoniac species. But although appeared in a demoniac family, the son of a demon, Prahlad Maharaj became a devotee. So much so that at the age of 5, just as a little boy, first year of Gurukul, he is giving the most exalted instructions to his little friends. At one point his friends asked him, look, our teachers are Sangha and Amarga. We are studying under them, we are studying the same subject under the same teachers, but we never learned these topics. Where did you learn this? And in your house also no one is speaking about Hari Krishna. So how come you got this knowledge? Then also Prahlad revealed a great mystery. When his father went to perform austerities, taking advantage of the absence of Hiranyakashipu, Indra, along with the other demigods, attacked his kingdom and defeated the Daityas, demons. And at that time they found that Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayathu, was pregnant. And they thought that in the womb of this woman, there must be the demon. So they decided to kill the child after he was born, because they wouldn't kill a woman. So they captivated her, they were taking her to keep her in imprisonment till the child was born. At that time, Narad Muni appeared. And Narad Muni prevented them from doing that. And Narad Muni asked, look, why are you unnecessarily torturing this woman? And they told him what they suspected. And then Narad Muni said, no, in our womb there is a great devotee. It's not a demon. Demigods let her go. But she was a single woman. Where should she go? her kingdom has been, her husband's kingdom has been taken over by the demigod, by any means. So then she, Narada Muni took pity upon her and took her in his ashram. And Narada Muni blessed Kayadhu that her child will be born only after her husband returned. And because he felt that it don't look good if she gives birth to a child in his ashram away from when her husband was away. So Prahlad Maharaj stayed in the womb of his mother for a long time until his father came back. And there, Narada Muni used to instruct Kayadhu about spiritual subject. And sitting in his mother's womb, Prahlad heard that. And just by hearing, when he was in the womb of his mother, Prahlad Maharaj became such an exalted devotee. pure devotee. So much so that at the age of 5, he's giving the instruction. And this way we can see that an exalted spiritual personality's spiritual situation is not relative to his age, is not relative to his or her age. It is a matter of consciousness, purity of consciousness. Somebody can be just born like here you see Prahlad Maharaj. By Narada Muni's mercy, he became a pure devotee in the womb of his mother. And here we are seeing that he is telling his friends, giving such a wonderful instruction. Actually, in this one instruction, we get the entire message of Krishna consciousness. Just in one verse. The human form of life affords one a chance to return home back to Godhead. Our situation in this material nature is a kind of imprisonment. Material nature is an area where a living entity, those living entities, those who have rejected the authority of Krishna, those who have decided not to become submissive to Krishna, subservient to Krishna, they are blessed. And in this material nature, the living entities get an opportunity to fulfill their desires, which they could not do in the spiritual world. The spiritual world is the world of absolute reality. There is no room for falsity. And spiritual world is the world of absolute truth. And what is the absolute reality? The reality is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and living entities are his parts and forces. So, in the spiritual world, or in his constitutional position, in his natural situation, a living entity is meant to be submissive to Krishna, surrendered to Krishna, and serve Krishna. Krishna is the absolute truth, the ultimate personality, and the living entities are his parts and parcels. In this respect, an example is given that, like that of a sun. The sun is the source of light. And there are many rays coming from they're tiny, minute, fragmental portions. So the rays are minute particles, atomic particles of sun, but the sun is the complete whole. So can the ray ever become the sun? Can we ever, will anybody consider a ray to be the sun? Qualitatively, the ray is same as the sun. A ray of light, ray of sun also has light and heat. And sun also emanates light and heat. But there is a difference. The sun is the complete source, and the rays are just minute parts and parts. So this is the difference between living entity and the Supreme Personality. Qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. Now, if a living entity wants to become the sun, then what will happen? Of course, sun's rays, or rather, a ray of the sun wants to become the sun. So, of course, the ray doesn't have consciousness, but Krishna's parts and parcels. They can think, they can desire. So when a living entity desires to become the Lord and Master, then Krishna fulfills his desire. But that desire of a living entity cannot be fulfilled in the spiritual domain. Because there is no room for falsity. This is the world of absolute reality. Therefore, the living entities are placed in this material nature. We have been placed in this material nature. Why? Because we wanted to become the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We wanted to become the center of everything. And that is the difference between material nature and spirit. Do you know what's the distance between the material nature and spiritual nature? The distance between material nature and spiritual nature is where we put ourselves in the center, that is material, and where Krishna is the center, that is spiritual. So what's the distance? It's a distance of consciousness. It's not a physical distance. It's ultimately, it is a distance of consciousness. Where we put ourselves in the center, thinking that we are the center of everything. We are the enjoyer. We are the controller. We are the proprietor. That is material. However, if we put Krishna in the center, thinking that Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the supreme proprietor, Krishna is the supreme controller, then we are in spiritual. Now in the spiritual world, Krishna is the center. But when we want to become the center of everything, thinking that we are the enjoyer, that means we want to assume Krishna's role. Then what happens? Then we are placed into this material nature. A world of illusion. Illusion. We are not the enjoyer. We are not the proprietor. We are not the controller. But we are illusion. That is the material nature. And in this material nature, according to a living entity's consciousness or mentality, a living entity gets different types of bodies. As you all know, there are 8,400,000 species. Vedas are so precise, giving accurate numbers. 8,400,000 species of life. Out of them, 9 million are aquatics. 20 million are trees and plants. Then 11 million are insects and worms. 10 million are birds and so forth. 30 million are animals. And only 400,000 Now they also have been classified according to their consciousness. Like trees and plants, they fall in the category of covered consciousness. According to their consciousness also they have been classified. Living entities in the category of covered consciousness. They're conscious, but their consciousness is covered. So much so that it seems as if they don't have any consciousness. Don't you notice that in the trees and plants? It seems as if it doesn't have any consciousness. But when you carefully detect, carefully analyze, then you see, oh, they're also conscious. And then from the insects and worms up to the animals, they fall in the category of shrunken consciousness. Shrunken. They're conscious. Their consciousness is quite apparent. But it's as if it's in a shrunken state. Then comes a category that is called bad state of consciousness. A bad, apparently a bad is also in a shrunken. Petals are in a shrunken state. But a unique thing about the buds is that they have the ability to bloom into a flower. So human beings fall in this category of bud consciousness. The Sanskrit word for that is mukulita cheta. Mukul means bud. And cheta means the first category is called Achhadita Chetan, covered consciousness. Then Shankuchita Chetan. Shankuchita Chetan, shrunken state of consciousness. Then Mukulita Chetan, bud. Now this is the special prerogative for the human beings. They have the ability to expand their consciousness, although they are in a shrunken state. But they can expand their consciousness, which others cannot. The animals cannot expand their consciousness. Now, for a bud to bloom, it needs two factors. For the bud to bloom, especially lotus bud, to bloom, it needs the exposure to the sun and the shelter of the so similarly, when a human being becomes exposed to Krishna, who can be compared to the sun, under the protection or shelter of water, who is the spiritual master. When a human being comes in contact with Krishna, becomes exposed to Krishna, under the guidance and direction of a spirit, bona fide spiritual master, his consciousness begins to bloom. And the fourth stage is called Bikoshito Chetan, or blooming state of consciousness, and then finally Purna Bikoshito Chetan, fully bloomed state of consciousness. This is possible only in the human form. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj is saying, that human form of life is very, very special. therefore, a human being must take advantage of this opportunity. Labdha sudur labhamidam bhogasam bhavante. Krishna gave this instruction to Uddhava in the 11th canto. He is telling, labdha sudur labham. Achieving this very rare. Durlabham means rare. Like durlabham anavajana. Labhyashamsha. Rare. But sudurlabham means extremely rare. Can you see the possibility? Out of 8,400,000 species, only 400,000 are human beings. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Sanatana Goswami, he made this point. Only 400,000 are human beings. And among them, many of them are uncivilized. Uncivilized. And some are half civilized. Only few are civilized. So what is the criteria for civilization here? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to Sanatana Goswami, what is the criterion for civilization? The ability to understand the Vedic teaching, the teaching of Godhead. Those who are exposed and accepted to the Vedic wisdom, they are civilized. Then he is saying that among those who are following the Vedic culture, those who are civilized according to that calculation, many of them are fruitive. They are following the Vedas, but they are following the Vedas for sense gratification. Civilized, but they want sense gratification. And out of them, and then besides them, besides those who are trying to be fruitive, like enjoying the results of their work and endeavor, then there is some are those who are aspiring for liberation. Some people want to enjoy the material nature, some other people want to get out of the material nature, aspiring for liberation. And those who are liberated, among them rarely we find a devotee of Krishna. This is how rare devotional service to Krishna is. Out of 8,400,000 species, there are only 400,000 humans. 400,000 species are human. Out of them, most of them are uncivilized, half civilized. Only few are civilized. Those who are civilized, they are trying to enjoy their senses, following the instruction of the Vedas. The advantage, Prabhupada is saying, the advantage of following the Vedas, Vedic instructions, even though trying to enjoy the material nature, is that eventually they'll come to the higher platform. After all, they're following the Vedic wisdom. It'll gradually they'll come to that. But when they, what will actually happen? What generally happens when one wants to enjoy this material nature, even though following the Vedic instructions, what does the Veda do? Vedas, the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, are explaining how to enjoy. Enjoyment is actually a matter of fulfillment of desires. You desire something, you get it, your desire gets fulfilled, you feel happy. The Vedas are actually giving the instructions. Oh, you want to become a king? Do this, want to become the king of the entire earth planet? Fine, go ahead and do this. Become, you will become the king of the earth planet. Okay, earth planet is not good enough. You want to go to heavenly planet? Fine, you can go there. You want to become Indra? Fine. But eventually what happens? No matter how much we enjoy, eventually we realize that there is no enjoyment. Just like running after a mirage, can you ever quench your thirst? Can anybody quench his thirst running after a mirage? Rather, more he runs after the mirage will run away and more thirsty he will become. Similarly, in this material nature, no matter how much we try to enjoy, we will never be satisfied. So then, when we become completely frustrated in all our endeavor for enjoyment in the material nature, then we come to the conclusion that grapes are sour. So, let's get out of here. This material nature is a place of suffering. No matter whatever I do, I simply end up suffering. The more I try to enjoy, the more I suffer. It's a directly proportionate. Endeavor for enjoyment and degree of suffering are directly proportionate. So, then finally one concludes, okay, this is not a place for enjoyment. So, let me get out of here. So, when he wants to get out of here, this material nature, that is the Gyanakanda section of the Vedas. Gyana, becoming situated in knowledge, he understands the real nature of this material world and he wants to get out of here. And when he, in this way, pursues the process of jnana, then the final stage of jnana is actually yoga. The final stage of knowledge is yoga, or the process to be connected to the Supreme Personality of God. Ashtanga yoga. Hey, how are you? I didn't know that you were here. Wonderful. Happy to see you. Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu ki. So he once. So the process of Ashtanga Yoga is actually gradually takes one into the platform of perceiving the super soul or the Lord in the heart. The Ashtanga Yoga, the final stage of Ashtanga Yoga is Samadhi. What is that state of Samadhi? Samadhi is a state of perceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart. So when one perceives the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart, Supreme, when one comes across the Supreme, and in the light of that Supreme he sees his minuteness, then what is his natural tendency? What will be his natural tendency? When you come across somebody who is very great, how do you feel? Want to surrender. Isn't it? Automatically, out of respect, your head bends down to his feet. Isn't it? Offering obeisance. What is obeisance? With respect, when our hearts become steeped with respect, then our head naturally bows down, bends down at the feet of the other person. So when a jiva soul, when a living entity comes across the Supreme Personality of Godhead, perceives the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this way, he automatically surrenders unto him. And this surrender, sharanagati or prapatti, the beginning of devotion. So in this way, gradually, one comes to the platform of devotional service. Now in devotion also there are two categories. One kind of devotion is serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, following the rules and regulations. And the other is serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply out of love of the heart. Following the rules and regulations of the scripture, when you serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is called Vaidhi Bhakti. And when one serves the Lord with the love of his heart, is love. Another word for love is rag. So simply out of the love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the surrender to the Lord is called raga. Now there is one consideration. Devotees generally will serve Personality of Godhead following the rules and regulations. Vaidhi Bhakti. In Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami is saying that Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra Vithin Bina, Aikantiki Hare Bhakti Utpatui Vakalpati. If one follows, or if one renders devotional service, no matter how sincere, or ikantiki, even though this devotion to the Lord is very, very sincere, still, if he renders the devotional service without following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, then utpatoiva kalpate. How many of you know the word, the meaning of the word utpat? Yes?
Trouble.
Disturbance. It'll simply create disturbance. Devotional service rendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though sincerely executed, will simply create disturbance because it is not following the rules. So in this way, the scriptures are telling us that devotional service to the Lord must be rendered following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. Now we are actually coming into one area which is very interesting. This is actually coming from Nityananda Prabhu's instruction to Jiva Goswami after he took him on a tour of Navadvip, and also this point has been very wonderfully explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita and also Nityananda Prabhu to Jiva Goswami revealed that fact that after manifesting his pastimes, Krishna considered the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Do you know how often he comes to this material nature? How often?
Once in a day.
What is the duration of a day of Brahma? Four chaturyugas multiplied by 1,000. One chaturyuga is 4.32 million years. And one day of Brahma therefore means multiply 4.32 million years by 1,000. 4.32 billion years is a day of Brahma. And that means once in 4.32 billion years, Krishna comes and manifests his pastimes in this world. But But after all, it's just a day of Brahma. Now, day of Brahma consists of 1,000 Chaturyuga. But in a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. 14 Manus come and reign. So 1,000 divided by 14 is roughly 71. So one Manu's reign is for 71 Chaturyugas. Satyayuga, Tritayuga, Dwapar Yuga, Kali Yuga multiplied by 71 is the duration of one Manu's reign. And there are 14 Manus. The seventh Manu is Vaivashyata, the son of Vivashyata, Suryadeva. And during his reign, in his 28th Chaturyuga, out of 71, the 28th Chaturyuga, in that Dwapar Yuga, Krishna comes. So almost every day during midday of Brahma, Krishna comes and manifests his Brajalila. Now again, another consideration. What's so special about Brajalila? Krishna's Brajalila? What's so special about Krishna's Brajalila? Braja or Vrindavan is beyond Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how does one naturally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead? In the mood of awe and reverence. That means everybody in Vaikuntha serves Krishna in servitorship, dasyata. Every living entity is a servant of Krishna, therefore naturally he will serve as a servant. But the special prerogative of Vrindavan is that in Vrindavan, Krishna allows his devotees to develop the relationship as a friend, as a father and mother, or as a lover. You all know there are five mellows, five rasas: Santya, Dasya, Sakya. Sakya means friendship. Vatsalya. Vatsalya means parental. Very good. And Madhurya, conjugal. Now, there are five mellows. Out of these five mellows, in Vaikuntha we find only two mellows, Shanta and Dasya. In Vaikuntha, no one is Krishna's, Narayan's friend. Because, you know, how can a servant think that my master is my friend or treat him like a friend? In Vaikuntha, no one is Narayan's father or mother. And in Vaikuntha, no one is Narayan's girlfriend. Lakshmi Devi is there, but that relationship, husband-wife relationship, is more like a master-servant relationship. It's not your conjugal. So that is because in Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Devi is serving Narayan. That is how a wife feels, or Lakshmi Devi feels towards Narayan. Then the question is, then what about those other three mellows? And if those mellows are not in the spiritual sky, how these mellows are manifest here? Because if this material nature is a reflection, then whatever is here must be there. If it is not there, how can it be in the reflection? Like if in a reflection you see some red flowers and yellow fruits in the reflection, then you know that in the tree also there are some red flowers and yellow fruits. So the consideration is, where are those relationships? Yes, those relationships are there. In Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna allows his devotees to be his friends. Friends, like real friends. Now just consider this point. The friendship takes place between the equals. Friendship takes place between the equals. Now who can become equal to God? Can anybody become equal to Krishna? Okay, at least in friendship it's equal. In parental, the parents are superior and the children are subordinate. And in conjugal, it's just like a relationship between a young boy and a young girl in desperate love. So how can that relationship be there with the Supreme Personality of God? So it's not possible to become equal to God or superior to God or treat him like a lover. Therefore, Krishna in Vrindavan decided not to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nobody can become equal to Krishna, nobody can become superior to Krishna, but if Krishna wants, he can become equal. If Krishna wants, he can become subordinate. So Vrindavan is the region where Krishna has become their equal. And therefore, Krishna made this arrangement through his Jogamaya. And Krishna made everybody forget that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now also here's another point. Forgetfulness also can be of two kinds. One kind of forgetfulness is out of ignorance. And the other kind of forgetfulness is out of love. Out of forgetfulness, out of ignorance, we know that. That's but forget, there is another kind of forgetfulness. That's forgetfulness out of love. Like for example, the son has become a very big man. Son has become the state president. But the mother, does she think, does she treat the son as the state president? It's not that she doesn't know that he's the state president, but because of her love for him, she doesn't treat him like a state president. She treats him like her own little son. When his wife complains to the mother that, look, why he's coming back home so late, mother chastises the son. Why are you coming back so late? She's not concerned that he's a state president. He cannot be treated like that, but the mother can. Because she's the mother, because of her love, she treats him. So forgetfulness of Vrindavan is something like forgetfulness out of love. Due to the intense love, they don't really care whether Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead or not. It's not that they do not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to them it doesn't matter. Their feeling is, so what? Even if you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so what? That what really matters is that we love him. Our whole heart, our entire heart is filled with love for you. And besides that, we do not know anything else. So that is Vrindavan. And the devotees of Vrindavan have this feeling that in our hearts we don't have any other consideration but love for you. Our heart is filled with only with love for you. And that is called Ragatmika Bhakti. Ragatmika Bhakti. And when one follows a Ragatmika Bhakta, when one follows a devotee of Vrindavan, the associate of Krishna in Vrindavan, and executes his or her devotional service, that devotion is called Raghu Mulamala. Now you see, through Vaidhi Bhakti you can go, well, through Vaidhi Bhakti when one achieves his perfection, he goes to Vaikuntha. Right? Now mind you, Vrindavan is beyond Vaikuntha. Now if one goes to Vaikuntha and gets his sarup, he can't change his sarup. He is stuck in Vaikuntha. How will he go to Vrindavan? Now the catch is, a devotee will always render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, and as a result of that, they'll end up in Vaikuntha. Then how will anyone ever go to Vrindavan? Yes, Raganuga Bhakti is there, but the consideration is that one must render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead following the Vaidhi Bhakti. Otherwise, it will create disturbance. It will simply create disturbance in the society. So that is what Krishna stuck. Krishna got into a dilemma after revealing his Vrindavan pastimes. What to do? I reveal my Vrindavan pastimes, but how will anyone ever enter into Vrindavan? Because devotees will naturally serve me following Vaidhi Bhakti and he'll end up in Vaikuntha. How will anyone come to Vrindavan? Isn't it a genuine concern? Krishna started to consider what to do now. I revealed my Vrindavan pastimes. So the purpose of revealing Vrindavan pastimes is to enable the qualified living entities to come into my pastimes of Vrindavan, come to Golok Vrindavan and Braj. But how will they come to Braj? Therefore, Krishna decided to come as a devotee. Now when this devotee Krishna is served following the Vaidhi Bhakti, then one becomes qualified to enter into Vrindavan. Right? So in order to enable the living entities the opportunity to come to Vrindavan, Krishna, after revealing his pastimes in Vrindavan, appeared as a devotee, that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the beginning of Kali Yuga, at the beginning of Kali Yuga. Now serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, rendering devotional service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, one actually gets an entry into Vrindavan. Now you see, another consideration here is, when we are serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when we are executing our devotional service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are we actually serving? Who are we actually following? Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Just Krishna? Right. Krishna in the mood of Radharani. In the mood of Radharani means actually Krishna as Radharani is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now consider, when you are rendering service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are you following? Radharani. Now, do you remember the definition of Raganuga Bhakti? Following a Ragatmika Bhakta is Radharani. Now, who is the best Ragatmika Bhakta in Vrindavan? Srimati Radharani. So when you are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are you following? Srimati Radharani. So this is how Vaidhi Bhakti is naturally becoming transformed into Ragatmika Bhakti. And that is the highest achievement for a living entity. Generally, in other ages, the other Vaishnava sampradayas generally followed this Vaidhi Bhakti, then generally they followed or rendered service to Krishna following Vaidhi Bhakti, and their destination was Vaikuntha. All the four sampradayas, destination is Vaikuntha. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and opened the gate to Vrindavan, which was not available before. So now you can see what an inconceivable good fortune you all have achieved by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So now you can see Prahlad Maharaj's instruction to his Devaniya friends. This is the most wonderful opportunity that one can achieve in the human form of life. You get the human form. Aren't we fortunate that we got this human form of life? If we were something else, we would have missed out this opportunity. If we came some other time, we would have missed this opportunity. See how fortunate we are. We appeared at this time. Right? What is the specialty of this time? Vaivarshata Manus, 28th Chaturthi. Just few years ago, Krishna revealed his Vrindavan pastimes, enacted his Vrindavan pastimes on this planet. Then Chaitanya Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then coming as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna created this amazing good fortune for us. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed Krishna consciousness only in India. And even then that was lost. You go to India, I mean, at least before Prabhupada started Krishna consciousness movement, even in India people are not really aware of this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Prabhupada came. And he took Krishna consciousness out of India and distributed it all over. And as a result of that, we all are getting an opportunity which is extremely rare. Human form of life is rare. To come to a situation where we can follow the Vedic culture is rare, even more rare. Coming to Vedic culture, but coming to devotional platform is extremely rare. And in spite of coming into the devotional platform to become a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is absolutely rare. And now we got this opportunity. We have this good fortune. So that is the extent of our good fortune that has been created so mercifully. Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Shri Shri Prahlada Shingade Gaur Premanande. Okay, so on this day when we are celebrating Nrisimha Chaturdashi, let's very, very sincerely consider this instruction of Prahlad Maharaj. He is telling his demoniac friends like us, now that you got this human form of life, take full advantage of it. It's so rare. And the opportunity that this life is offering you, please take full advantage of this. Now another consideration is, you know why Prabhupada instituted Nrisimhadev's worship in ISKCON? Why not Varahadev, why not Kurmadev, or Why is Nrisimha Dev? Because Nrisimha Dev, as Nrisimha Dev, the Lord has a very special characteristic. As Nrisimha Dev, he removes all the impediments and obstacles from the path of devotion. So that Lord Nrisimha Dev would remove the obstacles from the path of our devotion, so that Nrisimha Dev will award us success in our devotional endeavor. That's why Prabhupada wanted us to worship Lord Nrisimha Dev and pray to Lord Nrisimha Dev, that he removes all the impediments from the path of our devotion. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also gave first the Nrisimha mantra to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so that Nrisimha Dev would remove all the obstacles and impediments from the path of his devotion. So that is why we are so fond of Nrisimha Dev, that he removes all the impediments and we can achieve pure devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question? Hare Krishna, yes.
Maharaj, I was hearing a class, I think it was on Friday, and one devotee is a Prabhupada disciple. He mentioned that Lord Nrisimha Dev is actually the Sudarshan Chakra of Lord Vishnu, and that he's a Leela avatar. I don't know where the source is.
Yeah, he is Nrisimha Dev is Leela avatar, but Sudarshan Chakra, I didn't come across that, so I can't comment. Yes. Very good, very good question. Yeah, the question is that living entity has his swarupa, meaning his actual spiritual identity. Now he forgotten his spiritual identity, coming to the material nature. So when he executes devotional service, he goes back to his original swarupa. So is it that he can change his swarupa? That's your question. Yeah. The living entity cannot change his swarupa, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can. If he wants, he can change even his spiritual identity. That's why we find Jai Vijay, they're the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha. But then, what happened? Finally, by coming in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they got Krishna Prem. And when they got Krishna Prem, where did they go? Where did they go? Braj. Right? Navadvip and Braj. And Golok. So, yeah, in this way the Lord can. This is how the Lord rewarded him. Rewarded them. They wanted to serve the Lord, and he was so pleased with their service, promoted them from the gate of Vaikuntha to Golok Vrindavan. Right? And in Brihad Bhagavatamritam also we find in the second part, the Gop Kumar went all the way up to Dwarka, and he was associating with Krishna along and the queens and all the residents of Dwarka, but still his heart is not satisfied. So when Narad Muni came and he saw his state, and he asked him, Gop Kumar, you are in Dwarka, you are associating with the Lord and receiving so much mercy from him and the queens, and still you are not satisfied. He said, yes, you see, my heart is constantly hankering for a boy who tends cows, and he wears a peacock feather on his head, and he plays flutes. I don't know why I'm attracted to that boy instead of the Supreme Personality of God. Yeah. So then Narad Muni told him, actually, your attachment is to Krishna and Vrindavan. But to go to Vrindavan, you have to go back to the earth planet. And there in Vrindavan, you perform Sankirtan. Call out to the Lord with all the heart of your love. And that is how you'll be able to go to Vrindavan. And that's what Gop Kumar did. He came back to the earth planet, performed Sankirtan in the forests of Vrindavan. And as a result of that, one day he was transported to Vrindavan. So, you know, ultimately it is up to the will of the Lord, whatever he wants. And our mood is like that. A devotee's mood is like that. I'm serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's my Lord and Master. I'm his servant. But through the service, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes pleased, then in place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we'll see Radha Krishna. Just as Ramananda Roy saw. In place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we saw Radha Krishna. And when you are seeing Radha Krishna, where are you? You're in Vrindavan. And there, let them decide what mellow they want to award you. So we start with servitorship. Our mood is servitorship. But what the Lord wants to give, that's up to him. Yes.
Trying to serve the Prabhupada, and everybody has their way of serving, but actually following the rules and regulations, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
So how do we, what is the media?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, what's your name?
Naveen Krishna Prabhu
is saying that you explained about Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghavan. Now, when one renders devotional service to Krishna, naturally it is in Vaidhi Bhakti. Then how is it coming to Radha Nanda?
Through Prabhupada.
So, yeah, that is actually Prabhupada, yes. Prabhupada is giving us. So that's the point. Like, you serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu following Vaidhi Bhakti. Vidhi means the instructions of the scriptures. Now, what is the instruction of the scriptures about serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yagai sankirtana prayai jajantihi sumedhasaha. The Vaidhi Bhakti to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means sankirtan. Right? Sankirtan means glorifying the Lord and spreading his glory and mercy everywhere. That's what our business is. Prabhupada is engaging us in serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Sankirtan movement. And as a result of that, one fine morning or evening, We will receive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and find ourselves in Goloka. So this is how it will happen. Not that we are saying, this is the difference between Prabhupada's teachings and, you know, Apa Sampradaya's teachings. Many of these Apa Sampradayas, you know, like prematurely giving them, oh, this is you, I'll give you this Raganuga Bhakti. This is your sarup, this is your color of your sari, this is the service, this is the complexion of your body and so forth. Right? No, that's not the way. This is, and as a result of that, what is happening? Utpata yuva kalpati. These things are simply creating a disturbance in the society. But what is Prabhupada's instruction? Serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through sankirtan. Because that is the bhakti of this age. That is the yuga dharma of this age. Right? Kalo tadhari kirtanat. So that is the thing that Prabhupada gave. And this is the perfect process for spiritual advancement for this age. You serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and you'll receive the mercy of Radha Krishna in due course of time. When you'll receive, don't worry. Just continue to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Isn't it blissful to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sankirtan, in ISKCON? Can there be anything better than this? At least I can't imagine anything better than this. We got the perfect process. We got the perfect engagement. And we are happy. And someday if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to reward us in a certain way, it's up to him. But we are happy the way we are now. That is what Prabhupada's gift is. The perfect process. And this is how this movement is going to spread all over the world. Right? Yes, Premasindhu. Not another relationship. The thing is, when you are serving, say for example, here there are two considerations. Yes, when a jiva goes to Vaikuntha, being situated in his sarup, he'll be perfectly situated. And he won't want to go anywhere else. Right? And as a result of that, he won't be able to go to even Vrindavan. You got the point? He'll be so satisfied being there that he won't think of going to anywhere else, not even Vrindavan. The second consideration is, as you mentioned, that Murari Gupta, he had his implicit love for Ramchandra, and he could not shift his love from Ram to Krishna. Another example in this respect is Anupam, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami's brother. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami told him that, look, service to Krishna is the relationship with Krishna is the highest. So why not develop that? Giving up your attachment to Lord Ramchandra. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharaj Ki. Jai Shri Shri. So then Anupam said, okay, give me one night to think it over. The next morning he came to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and said, look, I thought about it the whole night, but I can't give up my attachment to Lord Ramchandra. Then Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami said, that's wonderful. The servant who doesn't give up his master and the master who doesn't give up his servant. So they allowed him to develop, continue with his relationship with Lord Ramchandra. Right? Yes, some cases will be like that. But most of them will say, for example, those who are coming in contact with ISKCON, most of them will develop their attachment to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because that's what ISKCON is actually establishing, giving. Most of them will be engaged in Sankirtan. And being engaged in Sankirtan, eventually they will develop their relationship by the mercy of Radha Krishna. And as I was saying, like, we don't even have to go to Vaikuntha. Even staying in Columbus, we all are perfectly happy being engaged in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan. We're perfectly happy in this situation, but if the Lord awards us something greater, then we'll see, yeah, if that is what you want, sure. Ashlishava Padaratan Pinashtu. That is the mood of a devotee. Yes? Okay, I'll take your question.
So, if Jiva is totally satisfied in the spiritual world, in the relationship, then in the beginning of the class you mentioned that we had desire to be a master and we came to this world.
Okay, very good point.
So
if the Jivas are perfectly satisfied in the spiritual world, then how come we ended up here? Okay, very good point. There is a book called Prema Vivarta, written by one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, Jagadananda Pandit. He is writing that somehow or other a living entity, when he turns his face away from Krishna, Krishna bohirmukh hoya. You see, bohirmukh means face. Unmukh means towards. And bohirmukh means away. Like when a living entity somehow looked away from Krishna. Don't ask me why or how. Somehow. To find out how, we have to go back to the spiritual world. So we looked away from Krishna. And what is away from Krishna? Just away from Krishna. When you look away from Krishna, Krishna's external energy. Nikatastha, which is very close by. And nikat means very close. Just somehow we looked away from Krishna and immediately we looked at Maya, who is just standing next to Krishna. She grabbed us. And you know how she grabbed us? You see, material nature, Maya's world, Maya's, Krishna's external energy, the material nature, is inferior. Right? Because it's Krishna's external energy. Whereas we all are Krishna's internal energy. We are coming from Krishna's internal energy. Now, when a superior comes across an inferior, what happens? He develops a mentality of lording over. It's a natural tendency of the superior to dominate over the inferior. That means we develop a desire to lord over. And this desire for lording over this inferior material nature, which naturally develops, gives us the first covering of false ego. Our actual identity was we are servants of Krishna. Now we have developed a mistaken identity. I am the Lord and Master of this world. Then, through the intelligence, then we started to plan how to enjoy this. That gave us the second covering of intelligence. And then our consciousness started to flow through the mind towards the external direction, towards the material nature. In this way, through false ego, intelligence and mind, we developed our subtle material body. And according to the subtle material body, material nature awards us our gross material body. So this is how we got stuck here. You get it? You know, this is how we got stuck here. Then Prabhupada is saying, don't worry about how you came here. Don't worry about it, because you'll never be able to figure out. Because the cause of our fall down is in the spiritual domain. But the reality is, you are here. Now you consider how you're going to get out of here. Not how you came here, how you're going to get out of here. That should be our main concern. And that process also has been given very wonderfully by Krishna. You see, our real problem is with the subtle body. Gross body is not such a big problem. Because at some point, gross body dies. And we are free from the bondage of the gross body. At death, we are free from the bondage of the gross body. But the problem is, we still have our subtle body. And because of the subtle body, we get stuck in the material nature. And the subtle, gross body dies. But the subtle body doesn't die. Subtle body doesn't die. But the subtle body can be transformed. Mind. You think. Mind's business is to think. So Krishna is saying, think of me. Think of me. One manava. Right? When you are with the mind thinking of Krishna, then what is happening to the mind? Mind is spiritual. Then teshaṁ śatata yuktānāṁ bhajatāṁ kati purvakam dadāmi buddhi yogāṁ. When one becomes engaged constantly in serving Krishna, Krishna awards him buddhi yoga. Buddhi means intelligence. So the intelligence is now transformed into buddhi yoga. So mind is trans-spiritualized, intelligence is spiritualized, and when one is thus engaged in serving Krishna, what happened to his false ego? Now the false ego is also spiritualized as Jivir Sarupai Krishna Nityadas. So now what happened? What happened to the subtle body? Subtle body disappeared. No more subtle body. It's a pure spirit soul living in a apparently gross body. And that stage is called Jivan Mukta stage. That stage is called Sarup Siddhi. Iha jasya hare dasye karmana manasa gira nikhila shapi avasthasu Jivan Mukta savuchati. When one in this way becomes engaged in Krishna's service, engaging all his activities of the body, all the activities of his mind, all the activities of his speech. At that stage, he is free from his subtle body and he is situated in this body as a pure spirit. In his sorrow, in his spiritual identity. And then when he leaves his gross body, at the time of death, he goes back to the spiritual world, and that is called Vastu Siddhi. First is Sarup Siddhi, then Vastu Siddhi. Alright? Thank you. He has a question first. Ian, you have a question?
You answered, I was going to summarize something, but you answered already.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Yes, Suresh? Yeah, that I expect at the beginning. Manushanam Shahasreshu, Kaschit Jatuti Siddhai. Out of thousands and thousands of people, rarely one aspire for spirituality. Sanam Sahasreshu Koshti Jatoti Siddhai, aspires for spiritual life. Those who are aspiring for spiritual perfection, really one achieves perfection. But those who have even achieved perfection, really ones get to know me in truth. So, the point is, the only way we can get to know Krishna as he is, by the mercy of the devotee. And it is extremely difficult to receive this good fortune in other ages, in other time. And that shows, like Prabhupada's special mercy, like thing that was something that was so rare, Prabhupada came and distributed it to everybody. Anybody can come and accept it. Can you imagine? This Krishna prem is rare for Lord Brahma. This Krishna prem is rare for Lord Shiva. And this Krishna prem, pure devotion to Krishna, is available to all of us. Who are we? Fallen conditioned souls of the age of Kali. How did we receive this good fortune? Simply due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy. In one hand, it's extremely rare, but it has become very easily available. And that is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Yes? Jamraj has already told his followers, his assistants, that when you see somebody with a tilak and kantimala, don't go near them. Just offer obeisances from a distance and make an about turn. So for devotees, jamdutas will not come. Even if they come, and take us to Jamraj. Won't it be a wonderful occasion? We'll see one of the Mahajans. We'll naturally offer obeisances to him. And Bacha Kalputaru Bhashtra Kripasitu Bhai Bacha. And what will Jamraj do? I'm so happy to see you. After such a long time, we got the darshan of a Vaishnava. Please come and be my guest. So that is the situation of a devotee. Even if the devotee is taken to Yamaraj, so what? We'll be happy to see him. And we'll ask him, please give us some good instructions. Yes, Mother Mahalati. Very good point. Yeah, good. You see, Prabhupada gave the perfect process. Does anybody have any doubt that Prabhupada gave the perfect process? So everybody accept that Prabhupada gave the perfect process. And Prabhupada also gave the perfect practice for the process. Therefore, we should be very careful not to modify that. The practice, the way Srila Prabhupada gave, we must follow that. It may be difficult, sometimes people may laugh at you, but why should you be worried? When a policeman wears a uniform, does he feel shy about it? No. When a soldier wears his uniform, does he feel shy about it? So why we, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feel shy when you wear the uniform? The uniform is kantimala, tilak, shaved head. When Prabhupada was here, all the devotees were shaved head. And now, the others are shaving their head, but the devotees are embarrassed to shave their head. Why? We already set the trend. So why should we be embarrassed? And Sikha, like, you know why Sikha is so important? Because the Sikha indicates that we are the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saying that one who accepted the Shiksha of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is identified with the Sikha. And when you don't have the Sikha, then who are we? Then whose follower we become, you know? We become the followers of Shankaracharya. We become Mayavadis. No Sikha means Mayavadi. Sikha means devotee. And as I was saying, if people laugh, for how long will they laugh? Then they'll get used to it. And not only that, as it is happening already, they'll start to copy you. Because they'll think that this is the real in thing. This is the real way to dress your head. So, you have accepted devotional service. You have accepted this process that Srila Prabhupada gave. Follow it with full conviction. And let us follow just the way Prabhupada gave it. Let us not try to water it down. Let us not try to modify it. Because Prabhupada knew. Prabhupada brought this process from the spiritual sky. Prabhupada didn't concoct anything. Can you imagine in those days when nobody knew about Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada got his followers, got his devotees to dress up like Vaishnava, shave our heads. Mind you, those days, what was the fashion? The fashion was long hair. The longer the hair, more beautiful you are considered to be. I'm talking about the men. So that was the trend at the time. But at that time, Prabhupada was shaved out, and the devotees did that. So why should we miss out on that spirit? If we are following the process, let's do it wholeheartedly. And as a result of that, what will happen? Prabhupada said, one day, the judges will go at Vaishnava. That means the most exalted people in the society will become Vaishnavas. And they will wear tilak. Now if you stop wearing tilak, then what's the hope for future? Right? Then you are actually setting a new trend. Then if someday a judge becomes a devotee, he won't think of wearing a Vaishnava tilak. He'll say, okay, Hare Krishna. Right? Manavalti, do you want to add something? Yeah, good. That's right, yeah. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur commented that when I see a face without tilak, that forehead looks like a crematorium. Good point. Very good point. But you know, day before yesterday, when you went to the hotel to check in, I saw in the reception, the guy had shaved head. I mean, in a very prestigious hotel, if a receptionist can be with shaved head, I mean, why can't devotees go into whatever job they have with shaved head? Nowadays, nobody complains. No, your boss will not ask, why did you shave your head? It's your problem. It's not the institution's problem. It's your problem. Anyway, shave up tomorrow. And go to the church. Yes, Mother Manu. Exactly.
Every single brahmachari would have to work to give their entire paycheck to the temple.
Yes. Mm.
And most of us, we ashras, we live outside.
Exactly, yeah. Satsarup Maharaj, Jagpataka Maharaj, they all had outside job. And they went with a shaved head. Okay, she is so merciful. Yeah, right, that's true. Yeah. Beard with no mustache. You know what beard without mustache indicate? It indicates that he is a follower of Muhammad. See, they did, they're the Muslims. Like, you see, Muslims, when they came to India, they just did the exactly opposite to what the Hindus did. Hindus had mustache, the Hindu warriors had mustache and shaved head. I'm sorry, shaved face. So they, just to identify themselves as completely opposite to that, they clipped their mustache and... And actually, when I see the devotees, especially the youngsters, have that, I tell them, and many of them shaved up actually, cleaned up their beard. Okay, thank you all very much. So we can end with a little kirtan. Silent Aratik, so now we can have a vibrant kirtan to glorify the Lord. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Purvale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ashtaka Vishutarine
Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Govinda
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
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 Thank you.
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतु श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवाशति गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय। गंगा माई की जय। जमुना माई की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। भक्ति विघ्न विनाशन श्री नृसिंह भगवान की जय। गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण कृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नाम में नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचार में निर्विशेष श्रीमारी शील प्रभुपाद की
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल वी वुड लाइक टू थैंक हिज होलीनेस भक्ति चारू महाराज फॉर कमिंग टू आवर हरी बोल हरी बोल। थैंक यू सो मच महाराज। वी हैव अ फ्यू अनाउंसमेंट्स फॉर टुनाइट। टुडेस फीस्ट इज स्पॉन्सर्ड बाय Rameshwar Chaudhary and family and Sri Ram Sundar. Let's show our and this wonderful feast is cooked by Mother Kamagiri. Mother Kamagiri is helped by Sita Vallabhi Prabhu, Anjana and Kirti. And the first announcement is that tomorrow we have a whole program residence starting at 6 p.m. with His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Everyone is welcome. Please come. Try to be on time. The program starts at 6 p.m. at our residence. And the email has been sent with the details. So if some of you do not know the address or location, please see myself or my wife. I will be able to give the details. And then His Holiness Bhakti Vasudeva Maharaj will be in Columbus tonight. and he will be here until end of the week, until next Sunday.
Haribol!
So Bhakti Vasudeva Maharaj will be here anytime, and he will be giving Bhagavatam lectures every day morning from starting from tomorrow until Sunday. And then Sunday we have a flower festival. This is the second annual flower festival for Radha Prabhupada we are doing. It's on Sunday. It starts at noon. Is Ram Mandir Prabhu here for the details? Yes, Prabhu.
Basically, it starts at noon. At noon, we will have procession taking Srila Prabhupada and Gaudiya Thai to the back. We will establish the festival event. And the events include everything from Pranayama Yoga, Kirtan, 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 culminating in a really beautiful flower throwing at around 6 p.m.
Now we would like to request His Holiness Bhattacharya Maharaj to hand over the cookies. One devotee, Sita Vallabhi Prabhu.
So I'd like to request
to
extend my heartfelt thanks to Maharaj for coming to Columbus and agreeing to spend a few days with the Yatra here. Thank you very much. And in his eagerness to bring His Holiness to Columbus from Cleveland, Prem Sindo didn't want him to be late. But in that eagerness, he did incur a traffic violation. But since it was incurred in service, I would suggest that maybe it would be very nice if we all pitched in to help him with the expense. Hare Krishna.
I would like to thank Mother Malati, Mother Kamagiri, and Yadavachari Prabhu, and Gokesh Pandit Prabhu, who is also here. We would like to thank all the Prabhupada disciples for their presence today. It was really wonderful festival tonight. And Sita Vallabhi Prabhu, she made cookies with so much love and devotion. We would like to request Maharaj to hand over the cookies to all the devotees. Very well. And the prasadam is being served in the backyard.